Welcome to PR Say, the podcast of the Houston chapter of the Public Relations Society of America. On PR Say, we spotlight our talented members and get to know each other a little better. If you are a PRSA Houston chapter member and don't get a chance to network as much as you'd like, or are unable to attend our in-person events, here's your chance to connect with your fellow members.
Hello and welcome to PR Say. This is the official podcast of the Houston chapter of the Public Relations Society of America. And I am thrilled to be here with you as your host. I'm Veronica V. Sofer, because I have the pleasure of introducing you to some outstanding members that we have in our Houston chapter. The whole point of our podcast is for our organization to become stronger, to have a really deep network of connections where we can learn from each other, grow from each other, and build our PR businesses. So I'm really excited about today's guest. We're going to be talking about communications and multicultural communications and how important that is. But before we get started and bring her on, let's take care of some housekeeping. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episode of PRSA. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, drop us some comments and my guest and I will be sure to connect. So let's go ahead and get this episode started. Again, we're so excited. We have Milka Horse joining us. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I love it. I'm so excited about today's conversation. I enjoy so much learning about the great PR work that's happening in Houston. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Yes. My background is actually in journalism, like actually most of PR people, right?
Right.
They start
doing right. Journalism. Both of us, yep.
I went to college in Puerto Rico. That's where I am from originally. And I worked for a little while, Telemundo and Univision. And my passion for stories, communications, communicating something through writing, is something that it's just deep in my heart, right? And, but then life changed for a little while and I became a mom. So I pivoted into education and I was a teacher for 11 years and I was teaching Spanish and I have great, great, great memories in the classroom. COVID came and I have been kind of like wishing to go back to communications and here I am in PR now. And I am working with a firm that it's in New Orleans, the Spears Group. And we do everything and everything in between, right?
Right.
And I wear a lot of hats like all of, you know, most of us. And it's fun because I get to see all the areas of communication, advertising, you know, obviously PR, marketing, written words, videos, mm-hmm. everything that it's related with communicating a message is it's our day to day. And I love it. I don't think I'm going back to any other profession.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you found your place.
Yes. And that was always my intention. And here I am just opening the door for the world to connect with me.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about your passion for storytelling. I know most of us got into journalism because we have a passion for telling stories and for conveying emotions. And I know in the space that you're in, you have a distinct background of bringing together multicultural stories and translating not only language-wise, but culturally the story to get the same reaction. I'd love to get your insight into how that works on the PR side.
Well, I think that you mentioned two things that sound like they're different, but they're not. Mm. Storytelling and multicultural marketing or communications mm-hmm. in general mm-hmm. go hand in hand. Because when brands take the risk of developing stories and messages that are relatable to people, they're more impactful. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the, you know, big brands around, you know, here use some type of storytelling, but they are not taking advantage of the emotions that they can, you know, develop in a messaging. Mm-hmm. which makes people connect with the brand somehow. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, Hispanics, we're, we're a little extra, right? Most of us. So we have a lot of emotions, and no matter if the emotion is a positive emotion or a negative emotion, we feel it, right?
Right. So
any company that puts a story out there that also brings any type of emotion will be successful. And I, as a consumer and as a writer, you know, when I write for my clients, I try to bring those two together, emotion and the storytelling, because it is effective. And at the end of the day, in this generation, in this technological world that we live in, like the technicalities of some things, the jargon of some fields are really not that important. People don't care. People don't want to read about that. Mm-hmm. People want to know, get to know other people. And I think that it's something that most companies need to, you know, jump in the wagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important because you mentioned a couple of things that some of us struggle with. And that is, not only are there cultural differences that really, or I wouldn't say differences, but there are some cultural levers that can be pulled to really engage that community. But there's also those generational levers that can be pulled to trigger engagement and trigger connections, because we're finding that the different generations, while we had a way of communicating with certain generations, now we have more generations than ever that we have to attract, that we have to connect with, and our bandwidth and the amount of time that we have to do it is so small. So the idea that storytelling to that unique group is just fascinating. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you work with your clients to make that emotional connection happen.
You know, some clients are not too open to the idea of emotions or any type of diverse message per se, mm-hmm. right? But for example, today, literally 30 minutes ago, we were having this conversation. They were trying to translate something. They already gave it to me translated, because we don't do translations, but you know, I got to revise it. And then we were discussing the formal versus informal. And
right.
That's what you were saying, generations, mm-hmm. right? Do you want to communicate with an older generation, or do you want to communicate it with younger people? So this particular client, it's like everyone uses their products, right? I'm sure they do target a particular audience. I'm trying to keep this as secret as possible, right?
No, I understand.
Yeah, but we were having the conversation. What do you want? Because if this is going to be translated, it cannot start with tú, saying you, and then the other verbs or the other parts of the, I don't know, the tagline or mm-hmm. or the parts of the communication effort. It's written in the informal way.
Right.
We're trying to figure out, who do you want to bring and attract? And another thing was the use of Spanglish. So there was a word, a particular word that has a translation in Spanish, but would it do the same, would it have the same effect as leaving one word in English,
putting it
in italics, following the AP guide style?
Right.
And are we going to leave that word in English? And I suggested we do. I hope that they take that recommendation, because that word in that context makes perfect sense. And everybody, even the ones who don't speak English, know that word. And at the same time, it will look like fresh, relatable, modern. And I think that using both languages, even maybe some of the purest language purists that usually are older people, cannot say, oh, Spanglish, because in that case, it just fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. It goes naturally, and it doesn't sound forced, like I have seen in so many ways. It doesn't sound forced, right? So again, it brings that nostalgic emotion, It may remind you of someone from your past. So I think it's important to use all those components in anything that you do, thinking of your audience, obviously, but also thinking progressively in the future of communications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important. And we're in such a different day now. And I love that that you gave that example, because the context is changes the entire process, right? Yes. But the strategy behind who's our target audience, who are we trying to connect with, and knowing that there was some appeal in that language choice was really interesting. So I enjoyed learning about that. So tell me a little bit about working with PRSA and your involvement in our organization, because I'd love to hear that.
Yes, I am looking for more opportunities. I want to volunteer for one or two of the committees. I need to follow up on that. I'm really interested in getting to know you all. I am a new member. Mm-hmm. I have attended in the past to some of the events that I was invited to, you know, as a guest. But now I'm officially a member, and I got to meet some of the people in Houston at a happy hour. And I'm looking forward to more of those type of events that, you know, give us the opportunity to kind of be like more relaxed and just, you know, talk about work, but really getting to know each other. That is a wonderful thing that I'm very much looking forward to.
Oh, that's great. And we're so glad to have you, because we definitely need some fresh energy. And I love the emotion that our volunteers bring, especially when they are passionate about it and can articulate that that's what they're passionate about, because some of our committees really need that excitement, especially when we're planning in-person events, because we're all about networking. So yeah, well, Milka, tell us how people can connect with you. What's the best way for someone to get to know you, introduce themselves, and maybe set up coffee with you?
Oh, yes. I am on LinkedIn. I don't enjoy particularly that platform. However, I am very appreciative of all the people that reach out to me on LinkedIn. And I have made great connections and even friends. So I check my LinkedIn every once in a while. I would say maybe once or twice a week. I should check it more, but I will, like, if you connect with me, I will definitely get back to you. You can also email me, milka@thespearsgroup.com. And I'm in other platforms, but I really don't use them for professional issues or matters. But I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm there for you. Send me a message, and I'm happy to connect. Those coffee meets and quick, you know, 15-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute meets with people in Houston are awesome, and I love it.
That's good.
Look for any excuse to get out of the house, you know?
Right?
I know. Home is really lonely. So, yes, call me for coffee. I'll have coffee with you.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm so glad, and I look forward to meeting you at some of our in-person events that we have coming up. We love our new members, and we are definitely going to get you on a committee, because I can tell that you're going to bring a lot of value to our groups.
Yes, yes.
So nice to meet you. Thank you for being on the podcast.
No, thank you, Veronica. Have a good day.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that was Milka. Make sure you connect with her. Her contact information will be on the show notes. And that wraps up this episode of PRSA. Remember, if you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, drop us some comments and we will get back to you. We'll catch you next time.